The problem with managed services spending forecasts. That's the topic of today's discussion on MSP Zone.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hello. And welcome back. Today's discussion is not a new topic, although this is a new story that raises this old topic yet again, and I feel like we have to address it. And I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade. I certainly don't want to insinuate that we are in any way, you know, how should we put this? The spending forecasts, the reports that come from, I guess you could call them analyst firms. I don't even know who these some of these firms are. I don't know if they're really analyst firms. I don't know what they're doing to get this data, that is. But we're going to talk a little bit about the analyst community, what they do, what they get right, what they don't get right, and try to make some sense of it all, because it's really important that we have accurate data. And that has always been, for some of you that follow this program for, you know, any amount of time, you'll know that that's a pet peeve of mine. It's something that we've been really struggling with ever since the beginning of managed services, is nobody in the analyst community really spends a lot of time on this. And here's yet another article featuring yet another managed services spending forecast report. And I've got some issues with it, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to take apart this spending forecast report. We're going to look at it. We're going to, you know, really try to dissect what it really means for MSPs, and try to get to some actionable takeaways and conclusions, ultimately, so that you guys can run your businesses better, for those of you who are MSPs out there in the audience, and for those of you who are consumers, so that you will understand a little bit more about what it is that we face here in the MSP professional community. So let's dive right in, shall we? In the reading material, I will post a link to this market report. But the report itself is quite positive. So here's the title. I'm reading from the article, and the article is Managed Service Providers Market, MSP Market in parentheses, is likely to experience a tremendous growth in near future. MSP market is likely to experience a tremendous growth in near future. The first observation, I have been reading these articles for the last 20 years, and they've all been right, with maybe 1 or 2 years, 2001, 2002, a little rough, 2009, 2010, a little rough, but other than those two, call it 2 year cycles, where we had some very significant headwinds, global headwinds, right? 2001, we saw 9/11, post.com fallout, a handful of, you know, things that were definitely can be classified as headwinds. And then in 2009, 2010, you had the global financial crisis. Definitely a financial headwind. Even in those periods, more the 2009-2010 period, you saw still growth in managed services. Now, other sectors were hit, yes. Other consumers of managed services were hit, yes. So that did impact some of the MSPs globally. We've talked about how if you were a banking focused MSP, meaning that was your predominant customer, a banking customer or credit union in 2009, 2010, you were probably, you might have been hit, certainly. But we still had growth. And outside of those 2 years, we definitely had growth. We've been seeing continued growth. So I don't look at these types of reports and say, you're telling me something I don't know. Now, that's just at the surface level, right? Is reading this type of thing doesn't tell me a lot, right? If I'm in the managed services professional community, which I'd like to think that I am, I don't glean a lot of data that's useful out of this, other than I learn a lot about what the authors of this study don't know. And it's a lot. And so the starting point is obviously is bait, right? It's, hey, click on this. It's capitalizing on the, you know, tremendous popularity of managed services these days. I get why they're doing it, but I don't necessarily give them, or anybody else, I should say, high marks for just saying what is a manifestly obvious yet true statement. Now, I am not being negative on managed services. I'm not saying that this article is wrong. I'm saying this article is right. I don't think they understand why it's right. I don't think they even understand the full breadth of the managed services market. We're going to get to that in a moment. But I think that they're making a general statement, and they're making it to people in the profession like us, and we're saying, yeah, okay, tell us something we didn't already know. I've known this. MSPs have known this. The vendors who sell to MSPs certainly know this. All right, so there's no revolutionary fact or observation or takeaway from this, from the article's title. That's just my takeaway. Again, I'm not saying that it's not true. It's absolutely true. It is absolutely not just tremendous growth, but it's been phenomenal growth, not just this year and through 2025, which is what the article projects, but it's stuff out there that it's legacy growth that we've been seeing for 20 plus years. So the article, when I read it, you know, and I'm always kind of skeptical about this stuff, I said, well, who are their samples? Who are they actually talking to and surveying, and where are they getting this, from where are they getting this data? And so the very first paragraph of this article is talking about some of the key players profiled in the study are, and this is where you really get to understand what they are monitoring and how small of a glimpse into the real managed services market they are getting. So, quoting from the article, some of the key players profiled in the study are Hewlett-Packard, Cisco Systems, Kaspersky Lab. I did not know Kaspersky had a managed services offering. I will have to check on that. Dell, yes, they do. Nutanix, IBM, Microsoft Corporation, Amazon, Tata Consultancy Services, and Accenture PLC. Now, with the exception of Kaspersky, I admit that all of those other companies do have managed services divisions and offerings. Absolutely true. Yes, confirmable. What else? Well, they're all enterprise focused. Now, when I say enterprise focused, all of those companies, well, almost all of them, maybe except for Tata, Accenture, maybe except for those two, Tata and Accenture, they all have channel programs that are certainly aimed at the SMB, but their managed services divisions are almost exclusively aimed not at the SMB, but at the enterprise customer. All right. Dell, to my knowledge, Hewlett Packard, Cisco, all the other companies with the, all the other companies aim their managed services offerings at the enterprise customers, and they do not really delve below into mid-market and certainly not into the SMB. So it's a very small slice of the managed services pie. Now, it could be argued, and maybe if I had some of these people on the program, they might be saying, well, but wait, Charles, you're missing the whole point. The point is, yes, this may be a small percentage of the providers, but they are generating a lot of the revenue. I will admit that. I will admit that the managed services divisions of these companies are probably generating a lot in revenue from those managed services customers. But it would be a significant misrepresentation to imply that these companies listed here, all of whom are enterprise-focused and enterprise-sized themselves, it would be improper for anyone to insinuate or imply that those companies are representative of the global managed services community. They are not. They are a small segment of it. Now, when I say small segment, I'm not necessarily talking about revenue. I'm talking about numerical representation of MSPs on the planet. I mean, quite frankly, they're not even... I mean, there's a lot of other enterprise-focused MSPs out there beyond these. These just happen to be, for the most part, publicly held companies. So again, what's the value of understanding what those finite number of quote-unquote MSPs are doing? And is it really a glimpse into the larger MSP community that we're getting here from this report? Well, on the second question, I don't know if there is a value to the larger MSP community, because this report has omitted 95% at least of the practicing MSPs on the planet. If you just, focus on those named customers or named service providers that they listed here in the article's opening paragraph, there's a lot of MSPs not represented. A lot of MSPs who don't show up in this. And aside from revenue, let's just talk sheer customer count. The 95% of those MSPs not mentioned in this study, I guarantee you they have a far larger influence just in terms of numerical touch point of customers that they service. And they sell to or influence the sale of goods, software, hardware, and other services in addition to the managed services that they deliver. That's a very big portion of any profession to omit. And that, I think, is one of my major takeaways from this that I'd like to express to all of you, is that these types of reports are all over the place. And again, I wouldn't necessarily say that this is a bad thing to have press like this, but it's bad for anyone reading this to think that this is the global MSP community, these 10 or so customers. Sorry, I didn't mean customers, MSPs. Right? If I was a novice consumer of managed services, I wouldn't want to take away that, oh my God, these are the only MSPs out there on the planet. No, that's not true at all. So further, the study provides a comprehensive outlook vital to keep market knowledge up to date, segmented by a handful of vertical markets. And that's not comprehensive at all, in my opinion. How is that comprehensive? You've listed less than 5% of the MSPs on the planet, and you have a comprehensive report? I don't think so. Now, maybe for future reference, for the authors of this article, you might want to consider refining your headlines and your surveys to say the enterprise managed services market. Now, that would be, I would accept this. I would say, okay, this is a well-articulated study then, because this would be somewhat representative, certainly more representative of the enterprise market than it would of the global managed services market, which is kind of what they're insinuating. And again, I don't even know if these authors understand what they're doing, or if they just think that those companies that they listed are the only MSPs out there. There's nobody else. It's just them. I don't know. I've never heard of these people. I don't know what they know. I'm just making some, you know, observations and, you know, trying to infer some points. The managed services provider's research study defines market size of various segments and countries by historical years and forecasts the values for the next 6 years. So it's projecting out from 2020 through 2025. Sorry, through 2026. Again, comprehensive, maybe. Doubtful, in my opinion. I don't think it's defining that much. I think it's at best, defining a very small segment of the managed services marketplace, really exclusively just the enterprise focused. And I'll even add in here a distinction, which are this does leave out a very large segment of the market, which are the telecom connectivity players, like the AT&Ts, the Verizons, the British Telecom, right? All of whom have, we've talked about this for many years before, all of them have managed services offerings themselves. Now, even ignoring the telecom managed services aspect, which is a separate kind of side of the IT channel, all of the AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, BT, Vodafone, all of the international telecom vendors do have legitimate managed services offerings that they, again, sell predominantly to enterprises. And I don't believe that any of those are listed here. So the companies, you know, HP, Cisco, Dell, Nutanix, IBM, Microsoft, Amazon, they are really infrastructure. They are really hosting cloud infrastructure, virtualization, those types of technologies. So less the telecom, more the data and the infrastructure side of it. And that in and of itself is somewhat curious, because they do bring up telecom in this end user focused description. So they're talking about the market segments that these MSPs are servicing, and they say that telecom is one of them. Communication, managed communications, that seems to indicate that the big vendors like AT&T, Verizon, and so on would be mentioned here. They didn't mention them, so I don't know. Either they're not included in this report, or something else is going on, or they just didn't list them. But let me get back to the takeaways here. You can read this for yourself. You know, you want to buy it, that's up to you. Does this type of report give us anything helpful to the vast majority of MSPs out there? I would say probably not. Does it help the average business owner, decision maker in understanding which MSPs they ought to be, you know, talking to? Probably not. I don't think any consumer on the planet has any problem understanding or is lacks awareness that Microsoft, IBM, Cisco, and others, you know, HP have managed services offerings. Again, if you're in the enterprise, you already know this. This isn't telling you anything you don't already know. For the rest of the community, this is adding confusion, is my concern. And again, it's not confusion that there's growth in the managed services market. There is undeniable growth in the managed services market. We've known this. It continues to be true. And for the foreseeable future, it's not going to change. But these types of things don't give us greater visibility into what we're dealing with. And it doesn't help the larger consumer community understand our market any better. That is my point. That's what I'm talking about. It creates the illusion or the belief that there is a much smaller community of MSPs. They list only very small segment, proportional segment of the MSP population out there. Again, not talking about necessarily revenue. I'm talking about just the numerical number of MSPs. That they don't come close to scratching the surface about that or giving any real analysis about that larger community. And it just seems to me yet another report that is talking about a fairly well-known fact, but providing us with no greater visibility into the MSP marketplace. Now, some of you may be saying, well, geez, what? Shut up about it. I mean, who cares? It's positive. It says good things about the MSPs. We could always use positive press. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is if people read this and then come away with the wrong conclusion, that's trouble. That creates confusion. That creates more work for the MSPs out there to have to explain to a consumer what they do as an MSP, why there isn't just 10 MSPs out there on the planet, you know, like this report insinuates. And you know, it just creates, not clarifies, confusion. It adds more questions, not reduces the number of questions out there. And I think that those are things that should be part of any analyst's job, is to create more transparency and greater understanding of a thing, of a market segment. And it's just a good example, yet again, of the lack of good analyst work out there. And I've talked about this a lot, of why that is. Right, these types of reports are aimed at an enterprise customer, because that's who's going to pay for this, unfortunately. They're not going to get much out of it. Because again, if you were thinking about using HP, Cisco, or IBM, Nutanix, or any of these other mentioned customers, I guarantee you've already got a far better understanding of those companies' MSP divisions than these analysts do. Far better. But does it create confusion? Does it create the potential for additional questions and answers with the MSP because it omits such a large segment of the MSP population? I think that that's really the risk here. And so, you know, I don't know what you do with it. You're aware of it. You are aware that potentially all of your customers could be coming across this, right? I mean, I get this stuff in my email because it's a Google alert, and I see it and I say, well, this is yet another one to add to the pile of kind of generic, bland reports that just talk about things that we already know in the industry and don't help clarify or give greater visibility, transparency, or understanding to the managed services profession. So, you know, be aware of it, make sure that if you think that your customers are starting to consume this, that you have discussions with them to clarify their understanding of the managed services marketplace. It's very complex. It's not easy. I understand that. But, you know, it's important to always be aware of what is being said about you in your profession, because if you are not aware of it, then you risk the consumers or your competitors perpetuating, you know, false information, and that's not good for anybody. So anyway, maybe you have a difference of opinion. I'd love to hear from you. I mean, I could, this is just my opinion, my perspective on this. I have, you know, I see this a lot, and so I maybe make more of a deal out of it than you in the practicing MSP community might, you know, actually care about. But, you know, I deal with this, and I deal with the larger, you know, issues of how do people view the global MSP community, and this type of research report, you know, other than the generic, yeah, things are rosy, things are good, it doesn't give a very accurate portrayal of what we are, who we are. And so to the extent that we've clarified that, I hope we have. If you have questions, certainly let us know. Drop us a line at mspzone@mspalliance.com. Share your thoughts or comments with us. We always love to hear them. And that's what I think.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.